good afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 10th.
5 days to go. Oh, you're smiling. Have you done your taxes?
I did.
Did you get them done?
Absolutely. I paid a whole bunch of money, yes.
Yeah, we paid, but we had to extend. No. So, I still have the big question mark.
What question?
Is it going or coming? Is the money coming to us, or is it going to be leaving us yet again?
Or maybe you can do one federal, one state, and even it out.
Two states.
Won't even it out.
Nothing's even ever for me. No. Balance. Just kind of decorum is what I shoot for, not balance. This afternoon joining us is College of the Red Rivers president. You may not recognize her voice, Kathy Smith.
Why
it's been 3 months.
It has been?
See?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. You've gone off on an accreditation trip.
I have.
I think it was a vacation trip.
Vacation,
and then a conflict. Yes. So, yeah. It's kind of like you're putting on airs. This afternoon, we got a couple things to talk about. Obviously, we've got wrap-up. Or perhaps not, of the accreditation. We've got CR's 50th coming up. Is it next academic year?
Next academic year, yes.
Okay. So we'll find out what an academic year is and why it's different than everything else in life. And also some cool stuff going on through the state, believe it or not, through the state legislature, that's cool stuff regarding education.
Very good.
I know it's a real thin pool, but we'll see if we can find out what that thing is, that nugget, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:14. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith from CR. But before we do, let's see, I've got a quote of success and the life of the mind. Ooh, which do you prefer?
I like success.
Okay. I did find an educated one on the other one. Here we go. Roger Bannister. 4-minute mile guy. You don't remember the first guy that ran the 4-minute mile?
I thought that was Jim Ryan.
That was the American in 64. Bannister was the first guy that ever did it, right?
What year?
I think it was 57, 58.
Okay.
May not be accurate on that one.
I graduated from the University of Kansas, which is, I think, where Jim Ryan ran his 4-minute mile.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
So you have the chant?
No, I don't have the chant.
Why not? If you graduated from Kansas.
The Rock Chuck Jayhawk?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got that chant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you didn't get a lot of time to use it over the last couple of weeks.
No.
Quote from Mr. Bannister. The man who can drive himself further once the effort gets painful is the man who will win. I know it wasn't nearly as exciting as the other quote, but you chose it, so it's okay. Oh, my. So, accreditation.
Yes.
Is the 4-year nightmare done?
4-year nightmare? I don't know if it's a 4-year nightmare, but the nightmarish part is over, yes. So, we just got our big certificate in the mail that we have been recertified for the time period until, it's a 6-year time period from 2012. So the next full report we will do will be in 2016. Actually, the report will be in 2017. Sorry, I can't even add 4. 2017.
Public education, yes. Rears its ugly head.
Yes.
So if it's 17, then that means you guys are probably going to be starting on it next calendar year.
Well, actually, we work on it all the time.
A 2-year ramp up? Oh, okay. Yes. It's a continual?
It is continual. And
is that a stipulation of accreditation?
Well,
or
that
is that
how,
so the load isn't too big?
Well, that's how you keep it current. That's how you keep it going. So what we're doing at this point is we're taking each of the accreditation standards and the subsections of each standard, and we are assigning an employee at the college to kind of be the overseer for that standard. So as things happen during the next 5 years, 4 years, I guess, until we write our next report, as things happen that might affect one of those standards, hopefully those employees can say, wait a second, make sure you're thinking about standard 2A, 4B.
Oh, I see. So they're conscious. They're not collectors dumping it into the file then to be brought forth. They're the ones who are kind of like the overlord saying, thou shall not.
Or saying, we need to take this into consideration, and also the collectors, to say, hey, this particular dialogue or this particular meeting is a good piece of evidence to show that we have done this, so let's collect it for that. So we're trying to work on it on a continuous basis.
And I would imagine that these are static employees that are going to be around for the whole term instead of somebody who might be there and then leave and turn over and that kind of stuff?
You never know.
Well, yeah, but you have
best guesses, too. We have resignations and retirements and all kinds of fun things.
Does that mean you just got one?
No.
Okay.
We do have some.
It seemed a little too top of mind.
Oh, no. we are looking at some sort of retirement incentive that we're talking about right now. So
to bring the budget into.
Yep, we still have budget issues. You know, accreditation, we were on sanction for several different things as far as planning and budget goes, and I should say we've never ever been on sanction about the quality of our educational product and what goes on in the classroom. But one of the things that we have had to pay very close attention to over the last couple of years has been our budget, and we had very low fund balance, and we had to balance our revenues and expenses. So we've
low
done a
fund budget balance.
Low fund balance, which is your reserves, your ending reserves. You're required by the state to have
The 3%?
You're required by the state to have 5%.
5%.
And we had dropped below that. So we've brought that back into balance. So when they sent us our big certificate to hang on the wall that says everything's great now, they also included with that a requirement that we file a 3-year budget forecast, because they want to make sure that our budget stays in balance until we have our next review.
Is that something most schools have to do? I would think that would be pretty routine.
We don't go 3 years out, generally. We
really?
Usually show this year and the next year, but we don't usually go out that far. But since the recession of the 2008, 2009, and a lot of colleges have been in financial trouble, they've started requiring more colleges to do it. But it's not a requirement from our chancellor's office. It's from the accrediting commission.
KINS News and Information Time is 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on 2 annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good...
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the budget and a 3-year budget concept. I would think that that's probably standard. It's not long-range planning, certainly, but with some of the grants that are going on and you make a commitment to a department, I think you'd be projecting it out far enough, so at least to give it a shot to be able to get the attendance up and to make things happen, or if you're going to be doing a capital improvement or this or that, that there's going to be that kind of, well, where are we going to be? When are we going to be in there? How are we going to get from point A to point B?
I think in general, when you're looking at an educational entity's budget, you're talking about several things that are happening in the future. 3 years is a good time frame. 5 years is a little bit harder to do. But you're also looking at the dollars that you have in reserves. And reserves are there for a reason. Reserves are there in case those years when you hit something that you're not expecting, or when you don't get the revenue that you're expecting from the state because they didn't get the revenue they expected. And so when you hit an emergency or a bump in the road, you have those reserves to fall back on. So what College of the Redwoods needs to do now is to get those reserves to a level so they can fall back on them. Right now, we just meet the minimum. So if something happens, whether it's a program that we want to commit to, and we don't have the revenue coming in 2 years from now, we want to make sure that there's enough in that reserve fund that we can continue with the things we've committed to.
In consideration of the economic situation that the state of California currently is in, is there enough space to build that buffer? Can you have 5 or 10%, or is there almost a fiduciary responsibility not to, and pay off some of the bonds earlier so that you're not accruing additional costs?
Well, that is debatable. That is really something that has been debated for years, and that is, if you have more than the required reserve, should you be spending that on education and on the students? Should you be providing the things that you may have had to cut when the times were bad? I'm not going to say that's not a good alternative to just keep at the minimum fund balance, but I would say that the minimum fund balance or the minimum reserves only allows for, if something drastic were to happen, it only allows for about a month and a half of our payroll. So if something drastic happened and we don't have reserves to pay staff, then we're in real trouble. But I would say that as far as spending the money instead of keeping it in reserves, there's a lot to be said for that. We've had to cut a lot of sections. We've had to cut a lot of things out. So now to restore them, we're going to have to spend more than we would like to spend.
Does it make sense to bring them back, though?
Some of them. I will say that. Some of them. We've had a great process going on the last few months and working on it additionally coming up, where we've got a new administrative procedure that is trying to look at all of our programs and services. We looked at five different things last fall. We're looking at a few more this spring to go through the process of which ones need to have the resources behind it. Because as your resources shrink and you have fewer resources to share, to pass around, then we have to make sure that we're putting them in the right places. That goes for money, that goes for people, that goes for all kinds of things that we're looking at.
Well, everything's kind of linked together, isn't it?
It is kind of linked together as well, yes.
With some of the pressures for the new technology, is that an area of investment? I mean, it's not really optional, but if the dollars are limited, and everybody's indicating that that's the case, mm-hmm. How do you prioritize almost infrastructure over people or other options?
Well, there are different pots of money, different funds for different things. And you mentioned bonds a little bit ago. We still, thanks to the taxpayers in 2004, we thankfully still have some Measure Q bond funds left over. We're down to our last 10 million of them, and we're spending them quickly, of course. But right now, we're able to bring the buildings up to the higher technology level, bring the classrooms up to what the students need. Our fear will be when the bond money is used up, and what happens 5 years from now when we need to replace some of that technology again. There are grants that we can apply for throughout the country. There's the Perkins grant money that we get. It's primarily for CTE programs, career technical education programs. So when we need new equipment in, say, the machine shop or whatever, oftentimes we can get grant money to pay for those. We have to apply for it, and we have to show how we spend it and all of that. But it's a juggling act to try to keep the technology up.
I would think that there's a carrying capacity for bonds. I mean, Eureka has got some bonds. I know Arcata has got some bonds. You got CR with some bonds. Are bonds seen as an unending source of income or of financial flexibility? Because City of Eureka's got Measure, well, I'm not sure what they're going to call it now, but Measure O, formerly, that was a fairly stiff tag for 3 years. If that thing passes and you guys are looking for bonds and, I know there's kind of an axiom that California has not found a bond that it doesn't like. But
oh, I think it has.
When you're putting together your structures for your financial, can you really rely on bonds as ways to do the normal maintenance and upgrading that a lot of folks perceive that that's where tuition, that's where the existing taxes go?
Well, I'm a pretty conservative accountant, and I don't want to rely on those. I just say that we are fortunate that we've had those in the past. But moving into the future and doing your 3 and 5 year forecast, you need to get to the point where you can pay for it out of the general fund.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Introducing Tapas and Tini's in the Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino. Spring is here, so on your way home from the beach, come check out the sunset. Restaurant doors will be opening an hour earlier, offering a small plate, tapas, menu available at a discounted price from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Signature martinis will be reduced to $7, and happy hour also applies with dollar-off drafts and wells. Also, make sure to check out the new spring menu for an amazing dinner, available starting at 5 p.m. daily. The Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino, just off the 101 in Trinidad.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CR President Kathy Smith. Kathy, the concept of bonds, okay, being an accountant and a college president is probably a rare combination.
There's a few of us, yes.
Rather than coming from pure academia, where you know, we just shoot the moon all the time and see what we can
do. Now, an accountant can be pure academic, because I used to teach accounting at the college level.
I know, but I'd love to think that there was at least a close proximity to the ground.
I hope so. And I have been in private practice before, so yes.
So as you look at the funding that's necessary for CR, are the expectations of the community too high? Are the expectations of the state too high based on the economic realities of what is? And you look around Humboldt and Del Norte County, you know, we've been taking it on the chin. Why we want to keep academic as high as we can, there's also got to be reality check that, you know, where we are and in the environment that we operate in.
Well, I'm going to say that I think the communities that we serve have been very realistic about what the college can offer. We do have community input, and we have people coming giving public input to our board at times as well. And I think they all understand that the budget limitations have limited some of what we do. Now, where they will differ with some of our decisions is that our decisions may have affected a particular program that they really liked. And I understand that, because we all have our choices of programs that we think are best. But I think people have been understanding. I will say that there are a lot of colleges and school districts and others that are looking at bonds for future funding, or parcel taxes, or some other outside financing from the taxpayer. We have, of course, discussed that at College of the Redwoods, but we're in no way planning to do that right now. We still feel very grateful, as I said, for those Measure Q bonds, that we still have some remaining. We're finishing up. And I did want to say one thing about the bonds, in that we just recently, the Board of Trustees agreed to refinancing those. They had passed a resolution last year that said if we could save the taxpayers at least $1.6 million, we could move ahead with refinancing. The interest rates were not at the right place last year. So we got into a position just last month where we were able to refinance those bonds, and we've saved $2.5 million in bond paybacks by the taxpayers. Doesn't affect the college any, doesn't give us any additional cash, but it does save the taxpayers on their tax bills.
Is that uncommon? It seems like it would be fairly uncommon, because why go through the effort if there's no residual benefit?
Well, there's none for the college, but I will say that I think it's becoming more common now to refinance those. And there is a little bit to the college in that we have to borrow money on a short-term basis just for cash flow reasons, because the state lags behind in their payments to us from tuition and everything. So we do at a TRAN, Tax Revenue Anticipation Note, which means we borrow money on short-term. Well, if the if we don't need as much money to pay off our bills, our interest rates, et cetera, then we don't have to borrow as much on a TRAN. It saves us some interest there. So.
And that's real money.
That's real money, but we're talking a few thousand, you know, not millions.
Relative real money.
Relative real money, yes, right, yeah.
It's got to be, I would think, challenging for community members who are not that familiar with the educational budget model to look at it and to wrap your head around, trying to figure. I mean, you made the comment, only $10 million left.
Right. That's a lot of money.
Okay.
That's a lot of money, yes.
But you've got things like prevailing wage that kicks in. Okay, that probably cuts it in half, relatively speaking, for what somebody might think is available. And some of those additional structural components in the state architecture. And
yes.
It's not a matter of going down to the local guys and saying, hey, we want to put a garden in over here.
Doesn't work that way.
Design it out.
Doesn't work that way in education. I mean, one of the projects that we have coming up with the remaining bond money is some renovation within our physical education building, which is used for all kinds of classes, not just physical education classes. But yes, we would like to go in and make an improvement. But when the Department of State Architects comes in to look at what we want to do, then they say, you can't use the money on this building unless you do this, 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 and this. And they're right. Many of the things in that building were built long before ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, and to get into the locker rooms and the showers, you have to step up and over a curb. So, you know, we need to get that out. So we understand where they're coming from, but you can't go in and say, I want to do a project for $10,000 to fix this issue without spending $200,000 on the other issue that they look at and say, this needs fixed.
Yeah, so it's not $10 million free, unentangled.
Independent
decision-making.
It has been committed. Yeah, has been committed for things that we have worked on. You know, when we went out to the taxpayers in 2004, we had a list of projects. We're still working on that list, plus others have been added to improve classrooms and things. We are working on the Del Norte site. We already did some retrofitting, seismic retrofitting and things like that, but now we're working on a computer lab up at our Crescent City location, or not a computer lab, I said that, science lab, sorry. And then we've got things down here that we're continuing to work on as far as the different buildings, getting them up to snuff. And
making it all happy.
I'm trying to, yes. We've got a great campus out there.
What's it going to look like in 10 years, 15 years, 25 years?
Physically or the college?
Comparable?
I'm going to say yes. I don't anticipate a lot of new buildings. I would think as our enrollment and our demand grows for different types of classes, a lot of them are going to be offered via online or hybrid courses where they just come to campus once in a while so we can share classrooms.
That's how I attended college.
Just came once in a while.
Once in a while. Yeah, that was enough.
That probably wasn't so the faculty could share the classroom, though.
Well, I don't know. I never got to that level.
Right. Well, there are some projects that might come up in the next, as you said, 10, 15, 25 years. One of them, we are on the list at the state bond project list for at least part of our creative arts building to replace part of it. It sits on a fault, as you can imagine, as do many of our old buildings out there. And, you know, so there might be some construction, but the heavy duty construction that we've had for the last 10 years is probably pretty much complete.
Just normal maintenance kinds of things?
Normal maintenance, yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, a couple of different quick touches, not having a ton of time. Status of San Francisco City. Last time we got together, they were talking about bake sales and shutting it down and denials. And I kind of followed it a little bit on some of the Business Journal websites that I I will frequent, and I've not heard anything. Does that mean the doors are closed?
Not yet. Nope, doors are not closed. They're set to be closed in July of this year. Don't know yet whether that's going to transpire, but that's what the timeline is. There were some legal challenges, some legal things that have been filed against them. One of them got thrown out by the judge, so saying that the folks who filed that complaint, that judgment, whatever it was, that it wasn't substantiated by fact or evidence or whatever. So the ACCJC, the commission, actually won, quote-unquote, on that particular one. I think there's still some other things out there legally that need to get taken care of. But at this point, they're still on track to lose their accreditation. So this year, and when any college is placed on show cause, in addition to the show cause report, you have to file a closure plan. So what do you do? So they have filed that plan. So
who wins? Marin?
My guess for a college that size is that other several colleges might have to step in and take pieces of it.
San Francisco State? I mean, would he get Hayward? No. Would he get out of the system, or would it be just other JCs?
Other community colleges. Well, there's so many down there. We've got Contra Costa, you've got Foothill De Anza, and you've got San Mateo. I mean, there's lots of colleges in that area, so...
You guys are coming up on year 50. When you were talking about the facilities maintenance in 25 years, I would think a 75-year-old building is going to need an awful lot of attention. In this next window of time, is that going to be the primary focus of jumping in and seeing where things are, whether it's for computer technology or plumbing? I mean, just regular basic stuff.
Well, we've been taking care of that as we've gone along. The buildings that we are occupying now, you know, we have a few older buildings, but the old ones that were on the fault, we are no longer using. So we've got new buildings through the bond money to replace those. We do have some of the older buildings, the applied technology building, where a lot of our CTE, our career tech ed programs are, need some updating. So we will be focusing on that.
Cool stuff. Well, we'll get some, I guess next time we'll... If there is a next time, we'll be talking about graduation.
That
How's
sounds
that for
great.
Finding that
yeah.
quickly?
Yeah, graduation's great.
Oh. Yeah. Chance to strut her stuff in public. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, sure. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, God make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you tomorrow.